Maybe right. I actually managed to eat something before pulling here.
Okay. So, Rachel, we're just learning paragraph 126. Okay, and this is how it goes in English. Rabbi Shimon and all the companions were rejoicing, like levanein is like a jubilating, okay, with the jubilation of the Torah. And every single one of them was like coming across with new insights into the words of Torah. And Rabbi Shimon was happy, and so were all the rest of the companions. And he said to them, Rabbi Shimon, my children, happy is your portion, for tomorrow the Kala will not come to the Chuppah except with you, because all those who rectify the rectifications of the bride on this night and are happy with her, all of them are listed and written in the Book of Remembrance. And the Holy Blessed One blesses them with 70 blessings and crowns from the highest light. Okay, so the first question is, what is this Book of Remembrance?
Well, my first question was, why 70?
Oh, so your question was, why 70? Okay.
The 70 nations, but they were able to bring that extra light to the world to rectify the 70 nations so that the light went from one end of the world to the next.
I don't know. Let's go. Let's flow with him. Okay. So the first thing he brings is, what is this Book of Remembrance? Mm-hmm. Okay. Explanation. Sefer HaZikaron, the Book of Remembrance, in Malachi, chapter 3. Now, in order to, we really need the whole of this piece. So I photocopied it. Did I give you a piece? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I photocopied it. Or got it off the internet anyhow. It's rather an old-fashioned translation from Mechon Mamre, but it doesn't really matter. It's a good translation.
Okay.
Mechon Mamre is the Jewish Publication Society translation, which was done in 1917. But it's very accurate. And in fact, for accuracy, I prefer it rather than the Chabad one, which is more modern, but it's not as accurate as this one.
Okay.
So it's a bit old, but never mind. Chazku alai divreichim, amar Hashem, v'amartem, ma dibarnu alecha? Amartem, shav avod Elohim, u'ma betza ki shamarnu mishmarto, v'chi halachnu kadronit mipnei Hashem tzvaot. V'ata anachnu ashrim zedim, gam nivnu osei risha, gam bachanu Elohim v'yamaleitu. Az nidberu yirei Hashem, ish alreihu. ויקשב השם וישמע, ויכתב ספר זיכרון לפניו, ליראי השם ולחושבי שמו. והיו לי אמר השם צבאות, ליום אשר אני עושה סגולה, וחמרתי עליהם כאשר יחמול איש על בנו העובד אותו. ושבתם וראיתם, בין צדיק לא אשר. That's good we remembered. Ben Ovedo Lehim Lashelo Avato. Everybody's upside down today.
We just started.
Yeah.
That's right. That's
yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
It's true. That's right. That's what happened.
I know. Everybody's upside down today.
I
know. Is it Sunday? Is it Isruchag? Nobody
right.
slept.
Really?
Everybody's
oh, thank
tired.
You. That's very reassuring. Thank you so much.
Yeah, for Hashem.
I just mentioned it to you today.
And now Tippy's coming with Laurie, and Laurie doesn't know the way, so Tippy was already here, and she's gone out with such a doing a mitzvah to bring Laurie.
Oh, nice.
So lovely. So they're going to be up in another few minutes
oh,
or so.
Okay.
So we're starting to just work with the text, and in any case, we're going to go back from when they.
Oh,
when they
perfect.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, I'm pleased with it. It's perfect. It's not a problem.
Very good. Okay, so. What we're looking at is on Kuf Kaf Vav.
Okay, Kuf Kaf Vav, okay.
Okay, so that's the Ot Kuf Kaf Vav.
Yes.
Yeah, right. Okay, it starts Vaya Rabbi Shimon v'kol ha'chaverim.
Wait, it's Kuf Kaf
Hey. Here it is.
Okay. All
right.
Okay, so I'll just recap. That Rabbi Shimon and all the companions are very rejoicing in the rejoicing of the Torah, and everyone is saying new words of Torah, and everyone is happy, and he's saying, happy is your portion, for tomorrow you won't bring the bride won't come to the chuppah except with you. Because all those who rectify the rectifications of the kala in this night and are happy with her. Now this is the inu bit, he says. All of them are listed and written in this book of remembrance. And the Holy Blessed One blesses them with 70 blessings and crowns from the highest world. So the book of remembrance Rabbi Ashlag brings is from Malachi chapter 3. So if you look on the piece of paper next to you,
we have it.
Okay. Now,
this is in the text or in the footnote in the commentary.
Only in the commentary. Yeah.
Gotcha. Okay.
So where it begins, Bior Hadvarim, on the bit below. Don't you worry, my love. Okay. Bior Hadvarim, explanation. Sefer Zikaron, the Book of Remembrance, in Malachi chapter 3. Dichtiv, as it's written. Amartim Shav Avod Elohim Begomer. Here it says, it is vain to serve God.
Okay.
And what profit is it that we kept his charge? So here you've got people who are saying really bad things. He says, they're saying here, it's written in Malachi, you have said it's useless to serve God, and what profit is it that we kept his charge, and then we've walked mournfully because of the Lord of hosts. Okay. Etc. And now we call the proud happy, yea, they that work wickedness are built up, yea, they try God and are delivered. When they that feared the Lord spoke one with another, as nibru yoe Hashem, ishloyehu, v'yakshev Hashem yishma, v'katev sefer zikron lefanav, and it was written, the book of Zikaron, the book of remembrance was written before him, for those who fear Lord and who consider his name. Vayuli ama Hashem tzvot liyom asher ani osas skula, and they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in the day that I do make, even mine own treasure, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. So it's very strange. You've got two very, very different groups of people here. You've got people who are like really saying, what's the point of serving God at all? Unless, you know, he gives us instant rewards, we're not interested. You know, we're sorry we ever did it, okay? And then you've got people who are serving God. All right, so what's really going on here? And he writes, V'yesh l'havin hadvarim. We need to understand these issues. V'eit shamu ish alwayehu. V'nidburu b'neihim. Divrim b'zuyim ka'elu. Shav avod Elohim. Uma betza ki shamanu mishmato v'gomer. Yoma alehim hanavi. Az nidburu yirei Hashem. Ish Elohayehu, v'lo od ela shenichtavim b'sefer zikaron lefanav liyorei Hashem ulchoshvei shmo. So the Rav Ashlag, it doesn't explain it as two different groups. He says it's all one group. He says, then we need to understand these matters. At the time when they said one person to another, they spoke these dreadful things. Okay. What's the point of serving God, and what's the use that we kept his guard, etc. Then the prophet says about them, then they that feared the Lord spoke one to another. And not only that, but they're written in the book of remembrance before him as if they feared the Lord and considered his name. So this is very strange. Did they do evil? Didn't they do evil? What's going on here?
Yeah.
Okay, so the only way you can understand this is on the next paragraph. Vinyanru.
Wait, hold. I think I turned the page and then couldn't find where we were, so just give me a second. Yeah, that continued the Isha Reyehu.
Yeah.
Yue Hashem Ish. That word there always gives you the next word. Okay, Ish.
Oh.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. So he's got, there's something strange going on here in Malachi. We don't understand what Malachi's saying, basically. Right.
All right. So we go back. So we go on with Rabbi Ashlag, and we'll see what happens. Rinyanhu, the issue is kila eight kates at the end. Kashit galeh hazivuka gadol datik yomim. When this great light of the redemption will all come forth, besod rav pa'alim umakabtzeel, in the inner meaning of all the different actions all gathered together, yitgale o gadol b'kol ha'olamot, this tremendous light will be revealed in all the worlds. She'al yedei zeh yashuv kol basar b'tshuva shleima me'ahava, and through this all flesh will return to God in complete teshuva from love. V'noda, and we will know, mash katuv b'chazal, what the sages have said, shazochel teshuva me'ahava zdonot nasim lo kezuchuyot. One who merits to teshuva from ahava, even the most arrogant acts, become as if they were merits. Okay? V'zesh amah hanavi, and this is what the prophet is saying, al elu harasha'im, on these wicked people, she'amu, v'nidberu b'neim chiruf v'giduf, and they said such dreadful things, like, what's the point of serving God? And what gain did we get that we kept his guard? Asher b'yom ha'gadol, on that great day, the Gemara Tikkun, of the Gemara Tikkun, when the awe of tshuva from love will be revealed, hine gam hazdonot ha'elu, even those arrogant acts, she'ein od garur mihem, which in fact there's no worse than them, yithapchu gam ken l'zchuyot, they will turn over, they will transform into merits, v'yechashvu elu hamadabrim liyirei Hashem, and even those who spoke them will be considered as if they were fearing God. V'haynu, the Gemara Tikkun, and we find at the Gemara Tikkun, k'mo she'meisika navi, as the prophet concludes, v'hayu li, amar Hashem Tzvot, liyom asher ani oseh segula v'holeh, and they will be for me, said the Lord of hosts, on the day in which I'm making a treasure, that's all right.
I have to. My husband, I left the house, ran out. He doesn't know where I am. That's why I'm answering the phone.
Oh, no, fair enough. Oh, yeah, sure.
Please continue. I do.
Okay. No, it's all right. The Hainu, that is to say, Biyom Gemara Tikkun, on the day of the end of the Tikkun. Ulefichach, and therefore, Yesh Bechach Sefer Zikaron Befanav, there is of necessity a book of remembrance before him. Alas donot v'pshaim hanasim ba'olam, for the zdonot, the negative acts, the arrogant acts, and the wicked acts which were done in the world. Sharehu tzarich lahem layom shuor seskula, because he needs them for the day on which he's going to make this tremendous treasure. Ki az yafchu liyot zchuyot, because then they will turn into merits. V'itztafu v'yashlimu komata or shel gemar tikkun, and they will join and they will complete the level the of light of the Gemara Tikkun, of the end of the Tikkun. V'zeh shekatuv, and this is what is written in Malachi, v'yichtov sefer zekaron lefanav, and he will write, and the book of remembrance will be written before him, v'yarei Hashem, as those who fear the Lord, u'choshvei shemo, and consider his name. Hayuli amar Hashem Tzvot, and they will be for me, says the Lord of hosts, liyom asher ani oseh skula, on the day which I am making the skula, ki az ani tzarich lahem, because I need them, kedei lashlim hakoma, in order to complete the koma. V'zeh shanavi misayim, and this is what the prophet concludes. V'chamalti, thanks, I just, the print, it was blurred. And then I will have pity upon them, as a man has pity upon his child, ha'ovedoto, who works, who serves him. Ki az yu yikarim li, v'chavivim li, k'mo shayu me'ha'ovdim oti. For then they will be as precious to me, and as dear to me, as if they were those who serve me.
Indeed.
It's amazing.
It's beautiful. It's amazing, but you know, it feels like last week was a long time ago. Can you provide a context a little bit?
How we got
here.
Yeah.
From where we were.
Where
we were. I have some notes of where we were.
Yeah.
And whether this and in terms of the Navi himself, in what context is he, the Navi, making these statements?
Right.
Is there historical content for that? And is there, and just bring us back into where we were last week and how it continues.
Okay, right. So if you remember, What we talked about last week was we began to talk about the essence of the Geula. Do you remember? Dvorah asked a very important question. She said, what is the Geula?
Right.
All right. And we said that the Geula is when the knowledge of God will be clear.
Yes.
Okay? Like in Isaiah, that the knowledge of God will be prevalent like the water covers the sea.
Right.
And in Yirmiyahu, nobody will need to teach each other about God because everybody will know God.
With you.
Okay, so that will be the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God will be clear. That was last time.
Right.
He also said that the redemption is built up of all the different acts that everybody's done
over
this time. And to bring this into the context, Rachel asked a very important question last time. She asked about what is the Yetzer Hara. Do you remember?
Yes.
She asked, what is the Yetzer Hara and where does that come in?
Yeah.
And we can take this piece as meaning different types of people, but we can also take it as aspects of ourselves.
Right.
Because Rav Ashlag's work is always to look at everybody like they are an entire world.
Right.
So inside everybody, we have those aspects who fear God, who serve God, but we also have those aspects who are saying, what's the point of doing all this? All right? We all have it in the, you know,
and
what profit am I going to get?
Is this
dialogues going on? Okay? And Rachel's question was, what happens to the Yetzer Hara in the Gemara Tikkun? And this is actually an answer to that question. Because the answer to that question is that is actually the negative aspects of ourselves which cause us to do the arrogant acts, which are the wills to receive for ourselves alone and the ego and all this, will actually become a merit. Now, how can this be the case? It can be the case because the will to receive ultimately is the vessel with which we can receive the light of God. Now, we get it for as the will to receive for ourselves alone, and in our original state,
That's very interesting. So the whole question of chuve ahava and it changing your demerits into merits is interpreted as the will to receive. That is,
instead of it being it was negative, it's pulling us away, and now it's actually even the acts that we did with it actually become means by which we can now receive the light of God, because it's actually that same vessel.
Oh, that's very nice. Beautiful.
Yes, it's earth chaktering.
I
mean, this paragraph.
Like this for that. I've heard of the concept many times. You know, come across it many times. That tshuva le'ahava and what it accomplishes, change of eretz to mitzvot, etc., etc. But I never saw it.
It is beautiful. I mean, if we think about it in terms of the Tai Chi that we do, okay, you know when you have somebody coming to attack you, okay? So what you've always taught me is you can use the energy in a positive way, right? You don't have to fight the energy. You can actually use it to help you. And I'm seeing that in these terms as well. Because instead of it's something, you know, like... we can, you know, Natalia's taught me many times that, you know, when we work together, that instead of like fighting something, you can actually use it, becomes a positive thing. What seemed to be like somebody coming to you with a punch, you actually use that as a means to gain energy. So what starts off as the negative becomes the positive, okay? And actually, even the actions that we did from that negative become zchuyot. And this is like, and they're needed instead in order to complete that the vessel for the light, of the full light of the Gemara Tikkun.
Very nice.
Isn't that amazing?
That's very nice. That's beautiful. And the whole transformation is a question of attitude as well. In other words, it's the desire, how are you going to use that light? You're going to use it for yourself? Or you're going to do tshuva, I mean, you're going to change your focus, change your attitude, and use it to serve Hashem, to give Him the Hashem.
Well, if we do it before the Gemara Tikkun, okay, then the tshuva is from, you know, God helps us to do our tshuva.
Right.
First, we start off with tshuva from Yirah, and then we get tshuva from Ahava. If we, at the Gemara Tikkun, what's going to be is that this presence of God's light will be so overwhelming, will be so strong, that there won't be a choice. It will just be, we all will. Oh, we'll be in love with God. We'll just fall in love with God. We'll just instantly do tshuva me'ava.
So the whole
concept
of tshuva is going to change. Tshuva is, you know,
in a sense, yes.
Before the Gemara Tikkun, you know, before that happens, tshuva is a question of an exercise in emunah, faith, actually.
Absolutely. So
not in knowledge.
Yes, that's right. So tshuva before then is an exercise in emunah.
Yeah.
When it comes to the Gemara Tikkun itself, everybody will be in tshuva me'ava. Whether, you know, there won't be a question of free will in that.
Yeah. And yet, even without the free will and without the reward for a proper exercise of free will, you're going to get that perforce, that reward. It's a different take. I mean, started last week and was looking at it from a different perspective. Now it's shifting perspective a little bit.
It's very much changed perspective.
Yeah,
I think this is fascinating because I think it very much, all the different questions that came up around the table last time. Actually, that, you know, was one of the reasons why I was quite happy with the questions, because they were all basic questions which are helping us today look at this piece here. Which I think is amazing. I mean, when I first read this piece, you know, some years ago, I was bowled over by it.
Yeah, it's pretty mind-boggling.
It's mind-boggling. It means that, you know, like, you know, we all look back on our lives and we all find things where we've made mistakes, when we've acted from our egos, we've acted from our wills to receive ourselves alone, and we've suffered consequences from that in different ways. And it's very difficult to, you know, not have guilt and not have shame and not have regrets. And this is such a positive piece because he's saying even those places are part of it. They're meant to be. I think it's just an amazing idea.
I think it's an amazing idea too. Needed to do with it, sink in. It's very interesting.
Otherwise, there's no hope, there's no mercy, there's no kindness. Right?
I know. But I mean, first of all, what he's saying is like everything that happens is from God. And we know that, and that includes our mistakes. And yet, you know, we all hit ourselves over the head with it all, and we all get upset with ourselves. And to know that it was meant to be this way is just a wonderful thing. Go on.
I was just going to say, you know, because the concept of tshuva me'ahava, pre-geula, is something we're familiar with, and we've heard, and we've felt. It's having to change that in a very interesting way, post-geula thinking.
Mm-hmm. Why is it changing it?
Because when I think of tshuva me'ahava, I understand tshuva can, it's easier to understand tshuva helping you go forward. In
In other words, you've changed your mahout, you've changed your whole being, you've made big changes in your mito. You've made yourself a promise, you're not going to do A, B, C, D, and again, that's tshuva. I regret it, I'm never going to do it again. And if you encounter it again, then the big test,
yeah.
And you don't do it, then you've certainly, you've done tshuva on that piece.
Right, okay.
All of that you kind of, you know, accept, and it sounds sensible and logical, but the piece that said it turns your previous bad conduct into mitzvah, when it's me'ahava, that was sort of like, that's almost like a null set, an empty place. You didn't know how to understand
Hi.
That.
Hi.
Hello!
Hi.
Well done! Oh, thank you, Tippi. You did a big mitzvah.
Wow.
She did.
Well done. We got
it was
the
a pleasure.
Sweetheart.
I think I'll go over. Sitting here, Tippi, great.
Don't worry.
We're having a very interesting discussion, which I'll catch you all in.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
We're ready to be caught.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Oh, yes.
Okay. Yeah. Grab some cups for everybody. Somebody told me that cups of baby toys, so a soldier can squish them up, put them in his pocket, and when he needs to drink from someplace, he can just unsquish them.
Huh. It's a collapsible cup.
Thinking. I don't know if that's what it's all about.
I made sense in a way because I couldn't understand why, you know, some of the other things are done here. So, Startup Nation kind of a way, you know, very engineered, and they can't make a cup that's sturdy. So when someone explained that, I said, oh, it's purposeful.
Before we start,
yeah.
Lori, this is Devorah. It's
Hi.
Her home.
Hi.
This is another one of my teachers. And
I'm Shana.
Shana, Elpa.
And this is Natanya.
Hi, nice to meet you.
And you know Yudita?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where are you from, Lori?
I live here as well.
You're in
Florida?
I
came from Florida.
Are you here recently or
since December?
Oh, welcome.
Thank you.
Ah, new taste. Very nice.
Oh, yes, okay. Yes.
Very new.
Yeah.
So, how did you meet?
Hannah met Hannah Glazer on the Yom HaTzmaut. Yeah, it was beautiful. Okay, so we're in the middle of a very interesting discussion, which I'll just catch Tippi and Lori in. Okay, we're looking at the idea of the Geula, of redemption. Okay, and redemption is the sum of all the good deeds that anybody ever did throughout all thousands of years. And it all comes together in one big light together, okay? Now this one big light coming together, this one moment of light, of huge light of God, is felt by everybody, seen by everybody, it's real to everybody. And that realness causes every single person to fall in love with God, okay? And this is called tshuva me'ahava, that they fall in love with God, that they absolutely come to God with love. It's like the presence of God on Mount Sinai, okay? And in the sense it's like that, because the Ten Commandments, God came down, revealed himself on Mount Sinai. And this is in a way, is Har Kegigit. It's the mountain was held over them like a kfiya. And it was like they had no choice except to accept the Torah. And in the same way, this is the same essence. And this is one of the reasons why I think he says that the essence of Shavuot and the essence of the redemption is the same. Because there is no choice. It's like the light is so strong, you have no choice except to love it. Okay, and that in a way is like Har Kegigit. It's like falling in love with God. You have no choice except to fall in love with God. And that's why, if we go back to what we were looking at, why the time of the night before the redemption, when God is hidden from us, is so precious. Because that is the time of choice. Okay? We don't have choice once the redemption is here. Once the redemption is here and the light of God is so felt and so clear, there is no choice anymore. And this is one of the things, and this is why the night is precious, and this is what we're going to actually be at the redemption. And one of the things that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai is looking at here is, but what about those bits we didn't manage? Okay, when I first came in, Devorah was explaining to me, was saying that some bits of Shavuot worked for and some bits didn't work. Nahon? Everybody had those. Everybody has the... We all come to see the bits in ourselves which didn't work. Okay? And what's going to happen to those bits? And he says those bits also will be included, and as if they were serving God, they will be as precious and as dear to God as if they were serving Him. And they will be Havivim Lo. They will be precious to Him. Okay?
One more second. This question is eluding me, and I'm finally trying to grab hold of it. Before the Geula, how would Barashah characterize Tshuva Me'ahava from the context, in the same context that he did after the Geula? In other words, with understanding that the Keli is catching the light, and whatever you said with regard to that, you said it applies after the Geula. How would you? Would
before,
it be different,
yeah.
Before? That's what I'm trying to puzzle out. Because that's what's familiar to us, not the end, it's less familiar, to understand from one to the other.
Right, now.
I didn't quite recapitulate the question, if you don't mind.
I'm sorry. Well, you had said, that it's instead of receiving for oneself alone,
mm-hmm.
then. In tshuva, that's a change. So you're receiving in order to give nachas to Hashem is baruch. I assume that's what you were saying.
Okay.
And that change, v'ahava, changes everything that you did beforehand from aveiro to mitzvah.
That's in the Gemara. Right.
That's in the Gemara. Now you explain that in terms of the Ashdod's understanding of this concept of receiving and keli and so on. After the Geula, but somehow I got the impression that before the Geula, that's not exactly the mechanism that works.
It is. I mean,
okay.
Sorry. Yeah, Natalia, want to say?
I have something to say. I also think that is also before the Geula, not just after.
Yes. Can I borrow somebody's pencil a minute because
sure,
I need to figure
you.
Something out.
Can
I remember.
The air conditioner
on? Yeah, sure. Right.
Dio Santo, let me respond.
So there's a whole, I'm trying to remember, there's four levels of ways in which we see God's providence,
okay
according to Rav Ashlag. One is when God is completely hidden from us, like Hester Panim. There's Hester Panim, and God is hidden from us. And there's Hester B'toch Hester, which is when God is so hidden from us that we don't even realize there's God there. Right? So like, for example, the very, very lowest is that something negative happens to us, but we don't even think about God. We said, oh, it's because I crossed the road without looking. Or it's
right.
Because the Iriyah did
right.
something, and they, you know, they dug a hole in the road
right.
and forgot to put a thing around it, okay? And or it's the weather, okay?
Okay.
So we don't even relate it to God, okay? So that's called
natural causes.
Yeah. So that is we're not even seeing God there at all, and that's called God is so completely hidden from us. It's called Hester B'toch Hester. And then there's Hester Panim, where a person does see God, but he sees it from his back. Now, what is from his back means, it means that God actually is good and does good. And everything that happens is good. So if we're feeling bad that something's happening, then it's like, but we say it's God, but it's like we're seeing him from his back. Because it's not really God. It's like we're not really recognizing God. And when somebody's got their back to us, it's hard for us to recognize them.
Right.
So, for example, if a person says, oh, this and this has happened and I feel bad about it, and I know it's because I'm not in the right place, I know it's because God is not with me, not with me because I'm not in the right place. He's relating it to God, and he's relating it to his relationship with God, but he still doesn't see that God is good and does good. And then there's levels of when we actually begin to see the Hashkacha Pratit, okay? And those are connected with that love of God, okay? And there's, first of all, there's, you love God conditionally, and then you come to the unconditional love of God. Now, these are stages of growth of the vessel in giving, when you come to giving unconditionally, just giving for the sake of giving, and at first the person begins to be able to say for his own life, everything that God has done for me has always been good and right, and I can see that in my own life, but he can't see it for the rest of the world. If he looks at other people, he says, well, you know, I'm sorry, God, you know, this is, you know, I mean, I heard the most terrible story yesterday on the internet, which I won't tell you now, but it's to do with the dreadful persecution of the Christians, Dafka, by ISIS, and it's appalling. Right. I mean, appalling.
Those four letters that
make it. Yeah, appalling. So, I mean, it was just the most appalling story. I switched off in the middle, I couldn't hear it. But, you know, something like 200 million Christians are being persecuted, something appalling, you know, in the planet at the moment, and they're all in the Muslim countries.
Yeah.
It's the most appalling things going on.
Oh.
Yeah, it's mamash, unbelievable.
200 million?
Yeah, 200 million Christians are under threat at the moment, yeah. Because all the Christians who live in Muslim countries, it's huge.
Does that
numbers.
Include France and England?
No, I don't think so.
I was just going to say.
I was thinking the same thing.
I don't think so. But anyhow, it's just really, 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 really terrible. I was listening to some speech at the United Nations, something appalling. And they gave some examples. I couldn't remember. You know, so when you look around the world, you say, well, you know, I might be able to see it for my own self, but I can't see it for everybody. And then somebody really comes to Tshuva Me'ahava and can really see God's love in everything. He's really reached that stage of, then he's Tshuva Me'ahava. Then that's called Ahava Nitzchit. Then that's like eternal love, that he loves God eternally. And these are different levels of the tzaddik, you know, basically. There's a whole section in the introduction to the Talmud Es HaSfirot on this whole piece, which is translated in the Shadow of the Ladder. But I haven't read this for a very long time, so you would have to go back and read that piece. But it's all vague. It looks at that exactly. It's how you go up these levels from not even relating to God at all, then beginning to relate to God within you but not seeing him clearly, and then beginning to relate to God as good in your own life, and then finally beginning to see God as good ultimately in absolutely everything. And when you get to that, that's called Tshuva Me'ahava.
And that is, at that stage, it's on an individual level, an individual side.
Yes.
It's not this level, which sounds like it's the collection of all of that understanding.
Yes.
Until there's this great light where everyone will then see it.
Well, the Gemara Tikkun, I mean, the question is, when do we get there? Is Bi'ita and Achishena, okay? This is from a verse in Isaiah, and I can't remember the exact verse, but it says something like that, I will redeem you Bi'ita or Achishena. I can't remember. I'll have to look up the exact verse for you. I don't remember. Oh, I know it. It's in Tapestry. Pass over Tapestry. I will hasten it. Here it is. Yes, here we go. Thank you for Tapestry. I think Rabbi Ashai wrote this book. I don't think I had anything to do with it. And I really mean that. Now, where is it? I know it's near the beginning. Question is where? I know it's in the beginning. pencils. Maybe I can find it. I didn't do the most complete index that I could have done. So.
It's quite a work. I don't think you have anything to apologize for.
Where would it be? I know it's near the beginning. It says if they do. Oh, I found it. Here we go.
Yay! What page is it?
88. Here we go. Now. The question is, the two possible ways we can come to the redemption. One is through tshuva, that is free choice. The other is through suffering, okay? Rav said, this is a discussion in the Talmud, Rav said, all hope is lost, and the matter only depends on tshuva and good deeds. When Israel would turn in repentance, that is, come into affinity of form with God through free choice, they will be redeemed. Shmuel said, it is enough for the mourner that he mourns. That is to say, even without repentance, they will be redeemed. In other words, just through suffering, they can get there. Yeah. Rabbi Eliezer said, if Israel would repent, they will be redeemed. If they do tshuva, they will be redeemed. But if not, they won't be redeemed. Rabbi Yehoshua said to him, how could it be possible that if they do not do tshuva of their own accord, they will not be redeemed? But the Holy Blessed One will put a king over them whose decrees are worse than Haman's, and will thus compel them to do tshuva and come to the good way. Rabbi Asher goes further into this paragraph from the Talmud in his commentary, the Perush HaSulam, on the Zohar as follows. And it is known what the sages of blessed memory said on the scripture, I am the Lord, in its due time I shall hasten it. Isaiah chapter 60, verse 22. Be'ita is in its due time. I shall hasten it. If they merit, I shall hasten the redemption. And if they do not merit, the redemption will come in its due time. Okay. So, how did we get to Be'ita Nachishenu in our discussion?
You were talking about
how do we get there?
The redemption and you were talking about the redemption and how we got to a place where we're talking about the redemption in general.
And basically what he's saying here is that there's two ways to get there. The one way is through suffering.
Oh, you were talking about the levels. You're talking about the levels that people
right, that's
and
right.
And you're talking about the highest level is seeing what happens to the entire world, i.e. the sad situation, including something like ISIS in that situation, and to still be able to see that and love Hashem unconditionally and understand how
that he's good and God does good.
And does good.
For everyone.
Yeah, so that's what I think you were saying. And from there, did you mention?
I did. I did, but I can't remember my train of thought.
Your train of thought. It came after that.
It came after that thought. Yeah, but I can't remember why. So if we do the work of tshuva, then that's right. How does everybody all come together? When does the redemption come? Right. The redemption comes when, I suppose, either we all have gathered together enough good deeds as a collective that we all go up together. An individual can get there as far as he can on his own, all right? So that you have these great tzaddikim who got there. But even they don't reach the highest that they can get to until we get to the full Gemara Tikkun, because everybody's made up of everybody else. So even the greatest tzaddikim, apart from Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and his companions, kind of like did a loop, you know, in a computer thing, they did a kind of like shortcut.
Yes.
They actually did it. They actually finished and reached the end. Okay, but everybody else, including the tzaddikim, nobody can reach the full redemption until we all do it together. Okay, so
there's in a full redemption.
Yeah,
in a full redemption. I mean, we're all assuming, I mean, I'm assuming that I really understand what that exactly means. Is it basically what you were just saying, that everyone will see the light of Hashem and everyone will be, will just have no choice, so to speak, but to acknowledge Hashem?
We'll be in love with him.
And be in love with him and bask in that light. And that's, that is inherently the definition of redemption.
Well, I have to tell you something. I've started teaching a group of women, a small group of women from Mutula, who are chiloni, secular, beginning to lachzor b'tshuva. And one of them couldn't come, and so we learnt a little bit of Leila Tekala last week over Skype. I'm a great fan of Skype, as Laurie knows.
She's great.
I love Skype. And we started to read, and we got to this idea of redemption, and we read together the piece from Isaiah about how the world will know God, and it will be so natural, like the water covers the sea. And over the ether came this most beautiful laughter. She just started to laugh from the most beautiful, beautiful place. It was like mamash chok pinu.
Oh.
Mm-hmm. Like, it was really that. It was the most gurgles of laughter, of the most beautiful, innocent, loving laughter coming down the telephone. It was so wonderful. It was like, in a way, she caught some of that essence of the geula there, and then you could really feel it. She was just, wow, it's God is going to be there. God is there. It's like, and she was just laughing.
That's nice. That's
it was
nice.
Such a beautiful moment.
What a cool, that's really beautiful.
It was such a moment, and she was laughing and laughing, and it was the sweetest, sweetest sound.
Did she express anything about what she was thinking when as it happened? Was she able
that was
to
so think? Much from her belly. It wasn't a thought.
It was a feeling.
What we did was we took it slowly, and we read that whole piece of Isaiah together, not just the sentence, the whole piece.
Was this her first experience of hearing that piece?
Of yeah.
Oh. Wow.
That's a little sign of the geula right there, huh?
Wow.
Well, no, absolutely.
She's hearing it for the first time as an adult.
It was wonderful. It was wonderful, and she was laughing and laughing, and it was like, actually, seeing somebody experience some aspect of the geula there and then.
That first experience that she's having as an adult is reminding the story. Forgive me for digressing.
No, it's good.
So there was this well-known, almost world-famous musicologist who was a skilled musician and extremely knowledgeable professor of music in whatever, Navy institution, you name it, he did it. And he's being driven, I think it was in a cab, by a cab driver. And in their conversation, it comes out that he's this world-famous musicologist. So, and the cab driver said, gee, I so envy you, you have all this music. I could never even imagine how that must be to have all this music and have all this information, knowledge, skill. And the professor said to the cab driver, I so envy you. So, cab driver, me? Why me? He said, because you have yet and will experience Beethoven's Ninth for the first time. That sense of hearing something, experiencing something as an adult for the first time, and routine and hearing things over and over tends to dull our senses to them.
But it was so beautiful. It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah. We took the piece from Isaiah and we just read it out in the Hebrew, and she was like, she just started to laugh. And it was so beautiful because that was really the experience of the tshuva me'ahava, in a sense of just being in love with God. So this is incredible. Yeah, you want to say something, Tanya?
Yeah, I was thinking about this me'ahava, which I think is important. The word ahava. You were saying about Tai Chi before, in the Chinese tradition, the energy of love, it's not just loving, it's also the energy that interconnect everything, it's like that goes out and take everything together, no? And And I was thinking of this and of the fact that apparently the Tshuva, me, from love is the one that changed the past also, no?
Yes.
And also the last question about, okay, we will all be so happy with you, all this light or other, but then there are people that say like, well, all will be so happy with this light, or we get that for the light because we do Tshuva, or we get that because we suffer enough. And I was wondering if the two things as here, that seems to be like bad and good and then they all come together, I was wondering if they were not more connected than what it means, what it seems.
I think so.
And one of the things that I noticed that...
Sorry.
Two examples in my life quickly makes it more quicker than explaining a big concept. Sometimes I worry about my family. Why do I worry about my family? Because I care about my family. Now there's could be some problem or other. Sometimes I worry. Then I can worry, or I can decide. Well, I can do my best. Okay. Not necessarily knowing that will fix it up everything. Absolutely, that who knows. And you find out that when you do your best, kind of you stop to worry. Mm-hmm. But not because you wanted to stop to worry, just because the source of both worrying and doing something is the same. The source is love, mm-hmm. and the source is satisfied. So either one or the other, fine, kind of. It can manifest in two very different ways. No? And that's when I work, and it happened to me to work with people and stuff on things that happened in the past, no? So how can I change them? But the actual action don't change. But in the moment if the action is still present, no, aside from the fact that if it bothers you, it's still present, and there's nothing to do. If the action is still present, because of love, for some kind of irrational things, but because of love, you can see why you do it from that loving source. If you're connected to that loving source, you can see why you do it, even if it was the worst things you can do in that moment, from that loving source.
Mm.
It doesn't change, but it changed for you though. It changed, and it actually changed also the stuff around. And this returns to the fact of suffering or loving that maybe not be so different. Just recently, when I knew this technique, I was following one of university course online, or there was a session part about panic attacks, and why people remembering maybe just a smell or something, or in total state of not panic, and because something terrible happened then, and there was this smell, or there was this image, or there was this something. So serious things, especially in a country like us. We have a very high post-traumatic stress disease around. And one of the things, the easier quote-unquote things to do, if you say, don't be afraid, it just doesn't work, actually it's worst, because your symptoms, which are very unpleasurable, really a lot, but don't go away with that. The only things you can do is to give in, to actually, okay, I'm feeling my heart going on, and I'm feeling my breath continuously, not like I have no breath, and okay, I'm feeling my heart, I'm feeling my breath. Now what do I feel? And now I feel that I'm sweating. You look at this and you look at it in a way that you're trying to sustain it, but you're not trying to stop it. So you are suffering, but kind of you're suffering from a point of view of love.
Interesting.
And then it stops. It really stops,
wow.
And little by little change. So I wonder if these two things that seems to be not, or
right.
This or this could be.
I think you're right.
This. They're not the same, but they have the same source anyway.
I think, you know what, what's important is, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, they're not so separate. I mean, like, I think, like, for example, forgiveness is, you know, when somebody's really, really upset you and behave badly to you, and you don't really want to forgive them because your sense of justice is outraged.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, somehow or other, from some place or other, you tried very hard and you know that you should, so you do. And you do come to forgive them. And you try and you bring out energy, and it's not that you... It somehow it changes things. It does change. It's not that the facts change.
Okay.
The facts don't change, but the energy around them changes. It's true. And instead of it becoming a place of soreness, it actually can become a place of bonding. And I think that's very much like what you're saying. So yeah, like that panic, instead of like fighting the panic, you can actually maybe like going through that panic, find your sources of strength in that.
Yeah, that's what I suggested, and after it worked with us. I saw it working as well.
Amazing. Yeah, well, if we look at it in terms of Rabbi Ashlag, then what in a way he's saying is that all the aspects of yourself, like both the Yetzer HaTov, which is Yirei Hashem,
mm-hmm.
which is obviously connected with God and you know, comes to the Gemara Tikkun, but also the Yetzer Hara, which is the negative part of yourself, is also considered worthwhile and important and beloved of God, and that itself will be transformed through this powerful application of love. Isn't it amazing?
Mm-hmm.
And it says here, I mean, he finishes, and the prophet finishes, V'chalmati aleihem v'asher yachmol ish al beno v'avedoto, and I will have pity upon them, just as a man has pity on his child who serves him. Ki az yu yukarim li, because then they will be as precious to me, v'chavivim li, and as delightful to me, kemosha yumehel v'dimoti, even as just as if they had been serving me. Unbelievable. And then we go on to this, what this book of Zikaron is about. So I'm on the second, can you share with Devorah maybe, and Tzipi, maybe you share with, oh, here we are, Tzipi's got a book.
Okay, we are on the second.
Yeah, we're on the second column, and the Ze Amru, he says. Have you found it?
Really?
Yes, we're still going slowly. Have you found it?
No,
okay, great. Vazalmu, and this is what they said. Kolhu Yohon Rashim Nuktivin Besifa de Dachorina. All of them will be are listed and written down in the Book of Remembrance. This is from Malachi. Hubal Rabot. It comes to include Shafilo has done not, even the arrogant acts, Sha'asu, which they did, you as Rashimin Uktivin Besefa Zikaron, will be listed and written down in the Book of Remembrance. V'yichdov otam HaKadosh Baruch Hu ke'ilu hayu zchuyot, and the Holy Blessed One will write them down as if they were merits. U'ke'ilu hayu avdim oto bahem, as if they were serving God through them. Dahayinu k'mo sh'amar ha'navi, just as the prophet has said. Yeah,
now this is happening according to Rav Ashlag after the Geula, or this could also, this is one question, or this could also happen before the Geula, assuming a person has reached that level of Tshuva Me'amot.
I think it's both. I mean, look, if a person does this work through his conscious self, then he does it before the gula. But for everybody else who doesn't manage to do it consciously, it'll happen at the gula.
It'll happen at the gula, but this could be happening also before.
Oh, sure, sure. Yeah. For the individual person, yeah. I mean, somebody like Rabbi Ashlag himself, for example.
Yeah.
He reached his gula, his own personal matkon, at a very young age, age of 20-something. Hinei ha-mispar shivim. Here you go, Dvorah, this is for you. And the number 70, more al mochin to chokhmah v'gimel v'shonot. Means the light of Chokhmah, that's the Chokhmah here is the light of God, the straight light of God, and Gimel Rishonot again is the highest light, okay, which relates to Chokhmah, Bina, and Da'at. Shema Nikrim Itarim, which are called in the language of the Kabbalah crowns, okay? Vesod Bracha, and the inner meaning of Bracha, the word Bracha, Al or Hachasadim relates to the light of loving kindness. So here we have both lights. We have the light which God gives to us, which is called the Or de Chochmah, the great light which God gives to us, and we have the Or de Chasadim, the light which we give to God, that goes from below to above, which is the inner meaning of Bracha. When my Bracha gets Hadim. Okay. Sha'olam Nivra Bebet. For the world was created with the letter Bet, Bereshit Bara, okay? Shusod Bracha, which is the inner meaning of Bracha. Dahainu Olam Chesed Ibaneh. The world will be established through loving kindness. By what the loving kindness, the Bracha that we do from below to above, is Bracha, okay? V'hu Bechinat Vav Ktzavot. And I'll just translate that into the ordinary language. And that is the aspect of, like, Yirat Hashem, Emunah, that's the aspect of faith. Vomer, Sheba Gemara Tikkun, but he says, at the time of redemption, Gam Or Chasadim, even the light of Chasadim, which is the light of faith, Ye Bivchinat Zayin Itarim Kamo Chochmah, will be as bright as the light, as if we got it, the light of God which comes directly. Okay. Ki hamem hei ubet nun yalu la'ayin bet samach gimel. Don't worry about the technical bits. It just means that all the consciousnesses will go up. Okay? All the consciousnesses will go up. V'zeh shekatuv u'kodesh baruch hu mevarech lon b'shiv'in barchan v'atrin de'olma ile'in. And the Holy Blessed One blesses them with 70 blessings and crowns of the highest world, of Ayin Bet Samach Gimel. Never mind, it's with the light of Chochmah. And therefore, even the blessings are count as the number 70. So, if we go back to the Aramaic and see what does he mean here, he says here, if we go back and he says, Amar lehem Rabbi Shimon. I'm back in the middle of Kuf Kaf Vav. Amar lehem Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said to them, Banai, my sons, Ashrei chelkechem. Happy is your portion. Shayla, do you want, have you found it?
Yeah. I don't know where you are now. I was with you till then.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's the one, okay, right. But I was looking in the Hebrew. Here. If we go.
I think I just found it because she helped me.
That's all right.
Shana helped me.
There.
Oh, thank you.
Amar lahem, here.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Amar lahem.
Found it?
I think
Rabbi Shimon.
Yeah, I'll come back to him. That's the actual. Yeah, that's the Aramaic. You see, this is the Aramaic. This is the translation of the Aramaic, and this is the discussion. Okay. Rav always begins with a translation of the Aramaic into Hebrew. Okay, so I'm back looking at the actual text first. Okay. We've done all the discussion all up to there. All right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we learned today. Okay. So I just want to have a look at that and see how the discussion fits into the text. Okay.
Okay. Amalehem Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon said to them, Banai, my sons, Ashrei chelkechem, happy is your portion, ki lemachar lo tavo kala el chupa ele imachem. For tomorrow, that means the Yom of the Gemara Tikkun, the bride, which is all the Shekhinah, all the souls of Israel, okay, will only come to the chuppah, the wedding canopy, with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with you. Because, Mishum shekol elu hamataknim tikkunei hakala balayla zeh, for all those who rectify the rectifications of the Shekhinah during the night when God is hidden from us, usmeichim ba, and are happy with her, even though we can't yet see God, kulam yerushumim k'tufim b'sefer zikaron, all of them will be listed and written in the book of Zikaron. And the Holy Blessed One blesses them with the 70 blessings and crowns from the highest world. So he says, blessings, why is blessing 70? Because 70, in the code of Kabbalah, 70 means the great light that God brings down to us. Because he says, in the Gemara Tikkun, in all the light that we do counts as if, or shines as greatly, as if as the same light which God brings down to us. So that's why the word 70 is applied to the brachot and the atarot. So we have both the blessings that we give to God and the atarot, which is what God gives to us. And it's all shalem. It's all complete. Okay? Excellent.
Yeah.
All right.
Such a hopeful way to look at things.
It's beautiful. It's very uplifting. Mm-hmm.